afternoon. It is a little bit of sunshine outside. It's the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Public Safety. Today is May 17th, 2017. I'm opening an information meeting on local court reports, and I understand that there are those who will be here to talk to us about a report that we have been waiting for or why we have not received it. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Today you are meeting to receive the local court report. Just as a point of background, the State Judicial Department operates a unified court system and operates general jurisdiction courts called circuit courts in all counties of the state. But counties and cities also have authority to establish independent courts with limited jurisdiction, and many have chosen to do so. These independent courts are often called, or usually called, local courts, and they're basic. And there are two types. They include justice courts, which are operated by counties, and municipal courts operated by cities. These courts, to repeat, are not operated by the Judicial Department, and there's no central repository of information on their operations, including the number of caseloads or types of cases that they're handling, the fines and fee amounts that they're levying and collecting. This information is not centrally collected. Going back to the fees and especially the fines, state law requires that a portion of fine collections, in most cases, be distributed to the state criminal fine account. So as an aside, although these are independent entities, they are required in most cases when they levy a fine to transfer an amount specified in statute to the state's criminal fine account, which is then available for state budget programs. In 2012, the legislature established a biennial local court report to provide some of this information that was not otherwise available on local court caseloads, revenues, and expenditures. The report requirements are now codified in ORS 1.860, and there are two items that we have stored to OLIS. The first is the most recent local courts report. The second, which is labeled Local Court Report 2016 Questionnaire, I'm pointing that second one out to you because the second page of that attachment actually has the statutory language that I'm referring to. This statute requires the League of Oregon Cities and the Association of Oregon Counties to report information to the Legislative Fiscal Office on local courts, and requires the Legislative Fiscal Office, in turn, to report to you, the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. This, again, the court requires this report every, the statute requires this report every 2 years. LFO is authorized by the statute to identify the information that's needed for the report within certain limitations that the statute establishes, and is required to consult with AOC and LOC on the matter of the information request. This legislation was passed in 2012. The first report was prepared in 2014 and reported to the legislature in 2015. The remainder of this meeting will focus on the most recent court report, the one that the statute directed to be prepared in 2016 for presentation to you in the current session, which I will refer to simply as the 2016 local court report. We have included a copy of the local court report. That's the first item under the agenda in OLIS for today's meeting. And to summarize, the local court report we are reporting, LFO is reporting to you that we are unable to provide you with a report this session because we did not receive sufficient data on court operations or finances from the League of Oregon Cities or from the Association of Oregon Counties needed to prepare the report that the statute requires. In terms of timeline, we did have legislative fiscal office did attempt to obtain information needed for the report. We initially contacted AOC and LOC, as well as the a member of the Oregon Justice of the Peace Association, who was very helpful in this process in September of 2016, with the initial consultation required by statute to consult with these two entities on the information that would be required for the local court report. And LFO limited the information to the same information that was provided 2 years ago. So there was no change in the information being asked for. We just asked for it to be updated for two more additional fiscal years. We did not receive confirmation from LOC or AOC that this was acceptable to them. So on September 20th, we contacted these associations again to see if this was okay. And we went ahead and then prepared the report as we had mocked it up and sent it back to these two associations so that they could distribute them to justice courts and municipal courts to collect the data. In November, we asked that the information be returned to us by October 31st. So basically providing about a month and a half for this information to be reported. By the end of November, we still had not heard back. So we contacted both associations again and asked them to provide the data. The Association of Oregon Counties responded that they had a few more to track down and that they would report back. They would work on that and get that back to us later this week. Finally, in December, early December 8th, the League of Oregon Cities submitted municipal court data. Only 10 courts reported any data, which was a very extremely small sample given the number of municipal courts out there. We asked LOC why their response rate was so low. They responded that they didn't know, but they would look into it and get back to us. Finally, by February, the end of February, February 27th, which is the date of the local court report, we had still not heard back or received information on justice courts or any additional information on municipal courts or an explanation of why only 10 courts responded. So after consultation with the co-chairs, LFO issued the local courts report that you have before you, indicating that the information was not received. I would like to note that 2 years prior, information was received. It wasn't complete, but a report was prepared. There was enough information to at least present information, prepare a report. After being notified on February 27th and having the report distributed to them, Oregon Justice of the Peace Association member indicated that they did not know why we did not receive the justice court reports and that they would compile them and send them directly to us. And indeed, they did that by March 3rd. However, it was after the date that we had requested this information. On May 12th, we scheduled this informational meeting and informed AOC and LOC of the meeting and asked them to come to provide the following information to the subcommittee. We asked them to describe the actions that they took to respond to the requests to collect information for the 2016 local courts report. We asked them to identify the number of courts that provided responses to those requests by the October 31st deadline and the number of additional courts that had responded by the November 28th when we again contacted these entities for information. We asked them to explain to you why they did not submit report information as requested, and we also asked them to identify actions that they will take to comply with future reporting requests in a timely manner. Additionally, we invited the Oregon Justice of the Peace Association to speak if they wanted to, though they are not directly charged with any particular activities in the statute.
Thank you, Mr. Bender. And so with that, and I do see that Mike is here, Mike MacArthur, with the Executive Director for the Association of Warren Counties, and Scott is here with Intergovernmental Relations Association for the League of Oregon Cities. And Judge Limhouse, are you here to speak? Is the judge here for? So I think I'll let the two, and if you want to then talk to us from the Oregon Justice of the Peace Association. Thank you. I think you have before you the list of Mr. Bender had actually detailed before I called you up. So who wants to speak first?
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee, Mike MacArthur, Association of Oregon Counties. First of all, I'd like to add an aside to Mr. Bender's setup of background about local courts. There's a third type of local courts, and that's the county court, of which we still have six that have juvenile and probate jurisdiction, having been former county judge doing both of those. I think that it's important to note they're also a part of the judicial system and play an important role in some places. So with that said, I find that Mr. Bender's report to be accurate. What he's described to you is pretty much the way the events played out. And I'd formally like to apologize to the committee and the legislature and the LFO on behalf of AOC for being negligent in not meeting the deadlines that were previously set forth. We did send out a letter on September 20th to the justice courts, or actually in our role, we send it to the county commissioners because they are, in fact, our members. The Justice Peace Association, who represents the judicial, or the judicial function of the Justice of the Peace, is a different association. They set one member on our board, but they aren't necessarily our members. So we go through the county commissioners to talk to the justice courts because they're part of the county operation, part of their budgets. Even though Justice of the Peace judges are independently elected officials, which is important to remember. So the deadline was set for October 17th. By that time, we had received about 17 of the reports. There are 24 Justices of the Peace in Oregon serving in 21 different counties. So we had 17 in by October 17th. After the deadline, we received about another five. We got the reminder from Mr. Bender, November 28th, continued to try and get those reports in. Finally, Mr. Bender asked us for the status again, as he said in February. And at that point, we were rescued by Judge Limhouse and the Justice of the Peace Association, who stepped in. They have the information. Counties don't necessarily, the commissioners don't have that information. AOC doesn't have that information. But with the cooperation of the Justice of the Peace Association, we were able to get it. And that report was submitted in total of all the justice courts by March 3rd. So you have that at this point, I believe, Mr. Bender, in the form that you asked for it. So, again, I apologize that we didn't get it done timely. It's still a fairly new function for us, and it's awkward in that the jurisdictional problems that we have. And I think we'll talk about how best to remedy that and how best to move forward with the justice of the pieces that are here. And I've had discussions with the current president of the Justice of the Peace Association, Judge Stinnett in Grant County, and at least one other past president of the Justice of Peace Association. I think we have a plan that hopefully meets with your approval. It may take a slight statutory tweak to make it official, but I think there's a more efficient way to do this and a way we can avoid these delays and get you your reports timely. So that said, I'll ask if you have any questions.
Can you enlighten us to some elements of a plan?
Well, Madam Co-Chair, I would prefer to wait for Judge Limhouse's testimony. I think he'll enlighten you as to the plan. We support what Judge Limhouse is supporting, and we understand the Justice of the Peace Association supports his approach to to getting this report done.
I see heads nodding on this side. So, Scott.
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark. For the record, Scott Winkles representing the League of Oregon Cities. Mr. McCulley was, our executive director, was invited to testify. Unfortunately, he had a longstanding appointment out of in the Midwest and could not attend. I am our public safety lobbyist. Ultimately, the responsibility for this rests on me. I will first off apologize. I still don't have a firm understanding of why the response rate was so low. I don't think we did anything that was materially different from the first time we did this report. I went through the when we got the email or the survey list, it was sent out. I'm aware that it was discussed at the court administrators conference. I'm not sure the date of that event. When I got the email on the 8th that it hadn't been, when we had some communication within our shop, we do surveys pretty frequently, and so that this didn't work out the way we planned is certainly an embarrassment for us. When I got the email that it hadn't been on the 8th, I went through all my emails. I did an email search, spam search. I had our research associate do something similar, and we came up. We had the 10 responses from our municipal courts. Going through the list, I think our list does need to be updated. I went through it personally, and there are people who I now am aware. I'm not sure I was aware when this originally went out that they have either moved on or retired, and it needs to be cleaned. We do have 110 local courts, municipal courts in Oregon. There are probably 15 that are. I'm not sure there's a great deal of interest in their activities. They don't hear traffic. They hear typically local court local violations. They meet code violations, barking dog sorts of things. They meet monthly, if that. Moving forward, we do have to make a list. We have to figure out a way to identify the person responsible for maintaining this data, because in a city, typically, there are maybe five municipal courts in Oregon where the person's full-time job and they are identified as the court administrator. Probably only five of those among my membership. Mostly this is a finance person, it's a recorder, it's somebody who's assigned bailiff as a part of their other duties. So for us to get the email to the right person, sometimes we're doing our best, but we may be guessing, we may not be getting them to the right place. And I don't think we clearly did not update this list adequately. Moving forward, I think we can make those steps. However, I will note that this statute, in terms of reporting requirements, is somewhat of an anomaly in that it puts the onus on the league to gather the information, but we're not the custodians of the information. So for instance, in, say, ethics, the person who knows has their ethics information is required to report directly to the OGEC. We can assist with that process, but there's no requirement that says the court complies with it, and we have no statutory authority to force somebody to provide this data. We can't. That's not where our association works. And in all candor, even on a survey where we get a good result from a survey that we conduct, a 50% turnout rate is considered successful, which I don't think is what this committee is going for. So we would suggest that we can take our steps to manage this process better, improve our internal communications between our intergovernment relations staff and our research associate, and manage this better, which I fully admit I didn't do, and it's an extreme embarrassment to me. But putting some of the custodians of this data together in a room to update, to figure out a more efficient way and a clearer way to do this with clear lines, I think would help in the long term for the statute to be successful. Because I think the people who fully understand the history of how this was adopted, why it was adopted, are pretty much in this room. And as we move on in our careers, I think we have to have some continuity. And we believe it could be improved. That does not excuse the way this worked out, but I do believe that there are some updates and modernization that could take place. for instance, we're LOC now, we're using data portals now, which is, I think, a much cleaner way to provide data, and there may be a way to apply that to a report like this. But I do believe we should have those custodians in the room, the compilers and the custodians of the data, and find an efficient way to do this. And again, I do apologize.
Questions? Mr. Bender, do you have any questions?
No, I think that I would like to hold off any comments.
Okay, then I'll ask for Judge Newhouse to. I'm sorry. Reverend Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, if I heard this correctly, you 2 years ago it was relatively okay, sort of? There was a report.
Yes, that is correct.
So we knew the right person then, right?
Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, yes, it went. I don't recall what the response rate was from then, but
right.
I think we used the same list.
Okay, so we're assuming then it was a person rather than a position that was taking responsibility for.
That was my reading of the Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, Representative Sanchez. That was, when I read the list, it was emails to people.
Okay.
Follow up.
Have you had to do this type of, any type of thing in terms, it sounded like you said survey, but I wasn't perceiving this as a survey, I was receiving this as a report.
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, it's a report that is generated from a survey. So we get the report from, we got the information from LFO, and then we send that out, and then we get the returns back. So in that respect, it would be like, I'm not sure if survey was the right word, but it would be like a survey where we would send it out and get responses.
And so I read this as direct, as a requirement. I'm looking through, I read it as a requirement.
Sure. Code, may I?
I you know, she, the one was a comment that yes, she read it as a requirement, and yes, it is a requirement.
Okay. So let me just, can I just say then, I manage people all the time, and I make sure that I know who's supposed to do the job to get the job done. If we have a requirement and a report that is due, then we need to make sure we know whose job it is to do that report. 5 months is way too long. I'm sorry, I'm just gonna say it out loud. 5 months is way too long to sit on a report and have nobody respond to say, I'm sorry, we don't have the capacity, we don't have the information, we don't have the facility in some way, shape, or form to get this done.
I think the good reps, Sanchez is speaking actually for this panel, because as you know, it is not often that we actually have a request like this to have someone come in to explain why a report has not been actually presented, particularly when it's a report that is due by statute. This is not one that is being asked administratively, but it is one that statutorily was required. So the co-chairs and the subcommittee chairs met on this and decided that it was probably that we did need this explanation as to what has occurred, as to why it had not been conducted and remitted to LFO as required by statute. And so with that, I'd like to have Judge Limhouse come up to.
Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Winters, Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee. I'm Jad Limhouse, Justice of the Peace for Linn County. I've submitted some exhibits to your attention. The one that I'd like to start with is the memorandum of testimony that essentially sets forth the talking points that the Justice of the Peace Association suggests would be a useful and simple means of resolving the dilemma of getting the local courts reports filed with the legislative fiscal office in a timely manner. Number one, this really ought to be a responsibility of the courts. You're wanting information about how courts, how many cases are filed in courts, how much money is received by the courts, how that money is distributed. And so this is information that should be provided by the courts, not by some association of counties or cities that is not a state agency. I'm not sure that you probably want to pick fights with non-state agencies over which are for the most part voluntary and have no real authority over their members. However, the courts are a different matter, especially the justice courts. Justice courts are state courts. Seven chapters of the Oregon Revised Statutes tell us how to organize our courts and how to proceed in processes. We're state courts. We are operated by counties, but we are basically take our marching orders from statutes. So we are responsible to you as much as we are responsible to anybody else. So each court should be, especially justice court, should be sending their local court report directly to the legislative fiscal office. And we can get those in timely manner. One of the, as Mr. MacArthur mentioned earlier, there are only 24 justices of the peace, and of those 24, 22 use the same software system, and so we're all able to, except for those two courts, provide whatever information that Mr. Bender and the legislative fiscal office staff request, so long as we have sufficient lead time to adjust the software to meet that request. Process that we could follow is very simple, similar to the processes that we follow for reporting to the Department of Revenue for the amounts that we pay to the criminal fine account that Mr. Bender mentioned previously. We send reports to the Department of Revenue every month. The Department of Revenue keeps a record of all those deposits, court by court. And so, in effect, you already have a means by which you can collect that particular type of information that's related to the criminal fine account. We also send monthly reports to county treasurers about the county assessment. In years past, we've sent reports to the state court administrator's office and to the Oregon Judicial Department pursuant to Chief Justice orders. Those reports were terminated in 1996, but nonetheless, there's some ample precedent for courts making direct reports to state agencies. And what we're suggesting is that's precisely what ought to happen here. The courts are responsible for the data. We ought to be responsible for sending it to you. As it's been mentioned, once the Justice of the Peace Association became aware of the fact that the data had not been submitted, then we immediately took action to gather the data from all 24 courts and present it to Mr. Bender, which Mr. Bender has acknowledged. I think, and I've been involved in this process practically from the inception, I think that the main problem in getting information to the legislative fiscal office is basically an outreach problem. One of the exhibits that I submitted, I believe it's exhibit number one, is a memorandum that was dated January 18th, 1977 from Douglas Bray of the Justice Courts Division of the State Court Administrator's Office at that time that sets forth the filing report requirement, has sample documents that include the type of information that's requested, has a rather extensive discussion of how to complete those forms, and it actually has some exhibits showing how the forms can be completed. That kind of outreach has never happened with respect to the local court reports. Another example of outreach that I don't have an exhibit for is the outreach that was done by the Department of Revenue with respect to reporting to the criminal fine, what used to be called the criminal fine assessment account is now called the criminal fine account. There was some question as to whether or not local courts, particularly small city municipal courts, were making the adequate or efficient payments to the sufficient payments to the criminal fine account for fines that were imposed in those small city municipal courts. So the Department of Revenue had the fiscal officer who was in charge of the accounting program for the criminal fine assessment account go to the annual or semi-annual meetings of the Oregon Association for Court Administration and present a seminar on how to complete the coupons. Went through the origin of the unitary assessment, and how the assessment came about, and then walked through the completion of the document so that everybody knew, who at least attended that session, how to complete the document. The gentleman then was subsequently sent at least once each year, sometimes to each of the two sessions each year, so that he would be available to answer questions of anybody who had questions about how that report was to be completed or how much money was to be withdrawn from each fine and sent to the state. This happened for a period of about 6 to 8 years until the reporting requirements seemed to be adequately being met by the reporting courts. Had we had some sort of an outreach of that nature, I don't think we'd be sitting here talking about the problem we're having today. But it's not too late to do that. This is information that you folks want to have, and you should have it. There is a relatively simple way to do it, and that is continue to use the local port as Mr. Bender has established it. Do some outreach. The Oregon Association for Court Administration meets, as I said, twice each year. Mr. Bender or some representative from the Legislative Fiscal Office could attend those meetings, explain how the local court report is to be completed, ask any questions about how to develop it on maybe possibly a software system that the courts are using, and just provide whatever assistance the court needs so they will be able to comply. I'd be happy to assist Mr. Bender in this process. I have, of course, a court staff of my own. They're members of the Oregon Association for Court Administration. And we'd be happy to facilitate this process if, in fact, that's something that you'd like to do. I think if we do some outreach, we can have the courts responsible for getting this information to LFO, we could get a much better response from all courts, not just the justice courts, but all the municipal court, or all the courts, for the 2018 local court report. I'm happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
I have a question, and I don't know whether it's directed to you or to Mr. Bender or to League of Oregon Cities or League of Oregon Counties, or it may be even the good Representative Barker. When the hearings took place as to why the decision was made that the AOC, that the counties and cities were to collect the data, does anybody know?
I don't.
What the basis?
Co-chair.
What was the discussion that that was held, and enlighten us on the history of why that direction was to the counties and the cities?
For the record, Scott Winkles representing the League of Oregon Cities, co-chair Winters. It was a few years ago, and I will recall the facts as best I can. This requirement was actually adopted in full as an amendment outside of the Judiciary Committee process.
So it was actually done in Ways and Means?
My recollection is I don't remember if it was Christmas tree bill or the court bill or the court fines bill, but it was an amendment in full. It never got a hearing.
So do you require whether or not that there was any input by either the county or the city association?
Co-chair Winters, for the record, I'm reticent to testify because this is off of recollection at several years, but my recollection is, and other memories may differ, is that there was some email traffic between our executive director and the LFO staff at the time. There's some shifts there as to something about a court reporting requirement. I don't know that I was included in that chain, but I do have a recollection of conversations with our executive director, and I think we were surprised that I remember rushing over to the hearing to get to Ways and Means when we saw the language. That's the best as I recall.
I raise this because of the testimony of Judge Nimhouse, and he brings up a valid point, and that is to why it wasn't more direct. So
I can't clarify enough. This is my memory.
Thank you. Co-Chair Stark.
Thank you, Co-Chair Winters. So if from the original conversations, there was last-minute adjustments that put this in, and if there was an objection from the counties and the cities at that point, then why would it, but we've had a reporting cycle that, somewhat passed the grade. Since then, why are we waiting until we've now, in a sense, failed the grade to say, oh, we need to change it? Why didn't we say 2 years ago or the very next session, why wait till now to adjust something that should have been changed back then?
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, it is my understanding that, and maybe Mr. MacArthur should come back up because it was their bill, but I believe they did introduce some legislation on this matter this session. I do believe it's faring well.
Mike?
Did you have a bill?
Don't go away.
Oh, okay.
Madam Co-Chair, Co-Chair Stark, we didn't, as I'm told by our staff, that we haven't submitted any legislation that would alter this arrangement. And as Scott has indicated, this was part of a shift in the way the court fines and fees were handled, and it was I recall vaguely a last minute amendment that really didn't have a lot of scrutiny, and it was because it was a change in the system, it was felt that something else was needed to be able to make sure that we were getting adequate information about how the system worked. That's what I recall.
So, Madam Chair, if I may, so from that explanation, it makes me wonder if the counties and cities were included as an element of oversight as opposed to just report. To collect and report.
Co-Chair Winters and Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee, may I offer a suggestion as to how this arose? Have you ever heard what's called a fire and forget missile? A fire and forget missile is a weapon that's used usually on airplanes, and the pilot armaments officer fires this missile at a target and then doesn't have to worry about it anymore because the target has a homing device that takes it in. I think this was perceived by some people as a one-time operation, and so they complied, but did not recognize, 2 years ago, they got it done, and for whatever reason, they didn't recognize, a lot of folks probably didn't recognize that they had to do it again. That's one reason. There are some others, however, that are more institutional, and that is municipal courts have a somewhat different organization depending upon what city you happen to be in. As Mr. Winkles mentioned earlier, often a finance officer is responsible for reporting financial information. Somebody else is responsible for reporting filing information. The judges of the municipal court typically do not get involved in anything other than judicial activities. They do not have typically supervisory or administrative responsibilities. They're not responsible for pencils, paper clips, and personnel. They just handle judge stuff, so to speak. Somebody else handles those administrative details. And so if you're going to have a local court report prepared by a city, you're probably going to have two or three different city departments involved in the preparation of that report. And I think that is another reason why there was a breakdown. Probably some of the people that participated in the local court report in 2014 no longer work for those cities. They move on. And so Mr. Winkle sent out emails to those folks who no longer worked at those cities. And the person who may still work for the city, maybe they had the numbers for their department ready, but nobody asked for them to send in. And so And I think, again, this is the outreach issue. If we had done a good job of outreach initially, especially after the somewhat tepid response from the 2014 local court report, where less, can you remind me, Mr. Bender, of what the percentage was of municipal courts that responded?
I don't have that on my memory, but I think you were going to say less than half, and
that's
that is my
say, yes.
memory as well, but I don't know the exact percent.
And so I think we could do a lot better than that if we had better outreach, and I think that's the key to getting this thing done. One is making the courts responsible. Two, let's have some consistent outreach over an extended period of time so courts recognize that they need to get this information to LFO.
If you're suggesting that staff turnover and some of those are some of the impediments, even with outreach wouldn't solve that particular problem. So if that's because staff turnover occurs in all of our various organizations all the time. So I'm trying to actually... And this will require some more thought, but the issue that you raise with respect to whether or not the association is really the entity that should be bear the responsibility. And my question is, why were they given that responsibility to begin with, whether they offered it or whether they were seen as, kind of like an oversight to as a conduit to make certain it happened? And I think that there needs to be further discussion with respect to that. Is the report one that is needed as I look at what is being asked of the local courts? I would say yes, because it's also, information that I would say from a budgeteer that is needed and wanted and by this body. So I think the question becomes as to whether or not you actually, the statute has the right entity that is required to make certain that the information is given to LFO.
Madam Co-Chair and Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, I think that's certainly correct. One of the things that I would like to see come out of this hearing is that we move forward from the mistakes of the past and try to avoid having those things in the future so that when we get to 2018, you have a full and fairly comprehensive local court report from justice courts and municipal courts.
Mr. Bender, do you have any other questions or comments?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. LFO would like to be able to get you the information that is required by statute. We do think that this information would be helpful to your deliberations and understanding of the entire judicial system, which includes local courts as an important component. We are willing to, hopefully work with you and the associations to see if there are any changes that could be proposed to the statutes to improve the ability for this data to be collected and reported to you. LFO, I cannot specifically comment to the discussions that involved identifying the association and the league as the entities required to make the report to LFO. When I took this particular assignment, this was the statute and I followed it. So I can't really provide you with additional information on that. I do want to, there was some information that I received here at this informational meeting that I did not have before. If I understood Mr. MacArthur's testimony correctly, it appears that at least for the justice courts, they had received 17 reports back in October, and that by November, they'd received 22 of the 24. So I'm not, it's a little hard for me to understand if there was really a problem with that process, but as of 3 months later, we hadn't heard from any of them, not even the 22 that had been reported 3 months earlier. So it may be more of an internal process that the associations and entities receiving the information need to prioritize moving that information on to LFO so that we can provide you with the data that you need. We haven't heard directly from any municipal courts today. Judge Lemhouse has spoken about some of the issues that municipal courts may face that are different than justice courts. I think these concerns need to be looked into. However, many of these, somebody has to, you know, if it's a question of outreach and that sort of thing, somebody has to take this on. Our office, Legislative Fiscal Office, doesn't normally perform administrative functions in, ensuring that laws are complied with.
I'd ask Judge Lemhouse, in looking at the questions that are asked, that someone somewhere actually retains the information of such things like numbers of cases filed, civil traffic violations, and some of that information. Don't all courts keep that kind of information?
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee, to the best of my knowledge, all courts do keep that information. Yes, ma'am.
And the other issue, some of these, and I'm assuming that you've received or you've seen this particular
yes, ma'am.
Form. Is there and so is that complicated to fill out, or tell me?
Co-Chair Winters, it's not necessarily complicated. However, there are some aspects of the report that depending upon the software system that a report has, that are not available. For example, we have two justice courts, the Washington County and Clackamas County Justice Court, that cannot respond to item number 3, which is fines imposed, because their software system doesn't track that information. The other 22 courts that use
the... Would you repeat that?
Yes, ma'am. The Clackamas County and Washington County Justice Courts cannot report the amount of fines that were imposed because the software system is not designed to track that particular information. It's entered into the system, but it's not designed to track it, and so they cannot produce a total for those amounts.
Senator Frederick.
I guess I'm finding that more than a little outrageous that we don't have that information. That seems pretty simple, a simple set of information to hold on to, and I would think that would be available. We have enough. I mean, the technology is there to do that kind of thing. So is it they just don't enter it? What is going on there?
That's a query issue. Senator Winters, Co-Chair Stark, Senator Frederick. The answer to that question is yes, the data is entered, but in order to be able to accumulate the data, it has to be programmed into a field that can be then gathered by the system so that it can be presented in a discrete total. And there's the software is not designed, for whatever reason, and I don't know the reason, the Clackamas software is relatively new. The software is not designed to do that. It could probably be enhanced, but it would probably cost, as you're probably aware, when you do software enhancements, as, for example, the system that the Justice Department has been recently installing, it's costly. And so unless there's some money to pay for the cost to adjust to that, they're not going to be able to report those particular figures. In order for the 22 justice courts that use the same system, that system had to be adjusted to pick up that discrete data amount and then total it for each case that was filed in the justice court and where a judgment was entered, and then bring that total forward so that we'd have an amount of judgments entered for the several classifications of offense. But that was a specific task that had to be designed by the software engineer so that the system could pick it up and present it. It was not part of the system initially. It became part of the system when we got the draft of the local court report from Mr. Bender. I forwarded that to the vendor. The vendor then scrambled to make the adjustment so that we could get the reports done on time. And
Judge Lemhouse, if I ask just broadly for the amount of let's say Washington County, how much was in fines that were traffic, the total amount, and how much were misdemeanors? Could they not provide me with that number?
They can provide you with the number for the amounts that were collected, but not for the judgments that were entered. Because the amounts that are collected, they have to be reported to the Department of Revenue through the distributions that we make on the to the criminal fine account and also the distributions that we make to the county treasurer. The amounts imposed have never, there's never been a requirement that we report those amounts, and so they've generally not been included as a report of any type of a summary report that can be run on software programs. If you indicate to the software engineer that you need to have that information, it can be developed, but it's a costly operation to reprogram the system to be able to do that. Now, we can produce the numbers of filings in all courts. We can produce the revenues distributed. We can tell you how much we collected, but there are some courts that won't be able to tell you how much they imposed because their software is not designed to do that.
Representative Sanchez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It would seem, I mean, as I'm listening to you explain this piece, certainly makes sense. Imposed is not the issue. We don't necessarily care about what was imposed. It was what was actually received.
Right.
And I think maybe if we could just somehow strike that piece and make it to be the received in some way. I don't know what process we might need to go through to make that happen. But that's clearly what the answer is, not necessarily an imposed fine.
You'd have to talk to Mr. Bender what his needs are. But
yes,
I'm just trying to get at what you collect.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's exactly.
We can do that, ma'am. We can all do that.
If Co-Chair Winters, if I could respond to your question as well. You asked if there was some of this was complicated, actually, I disagree with the Honorable Judge. I hope I'm not in his court, but some of it is because the issue is it gets at the collections issue. So we might impose a fine in one fiscal year. But if a person's incarcerated or we can't track that person down, and keep in mind local municipal courts don't have the same collections tools that the circuit court uses, we're going to be longer collecting it. So we might collect a fine that was imposed several fiscal years prior. And so we actually, for our purposes, we actually would care a great deal about the fine imposed versus what was collected number, because that's we want to monitor to make sure we're people are paying
how much debts on your books.
For internally, we want to know, and I think Mr. LFO staff would clearly want to know that as well, because that would impact how much is sent off to the CFAA for the public safety services.
Any additional questions or comments? Mr. Bender?
No.
If not, thank you. I'm sure there will be further conversations about this topic as we go forward. And if there's no further questions, comments, we are adjourned.
This song has to.